We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Melanie Randall. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing good.
It's so good to see you.
It's good to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty in Sayre, Oklahoma, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned after the broadcast. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth broadcast. His title for today is Ears to Hear. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
All righty. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for another day's journey. We thank you for another month having been ushered in, Lord, as we are going towards another changing of the seasons, the season of spring, Lord, the month which is a transformation just by itself, the transformation season of spring. And so I thank you for that, God. Thank you for each and every one, Lord, that may be listening. I thank you, Lord, for hearers that are tuned in, that desire to hear, as the scripture says, the sincere milk of the word. And also, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one, Lord, that even may be going through adversity or whatever they may be experiencing at this time, Lord, that the word would be an encouragement unto them. And so, God, you've called us together as the church, the body of Christ. And so, Lord, let that which I speak, Lord, encourage each and every one. And for those that may not even be in the body just as of yet, Lord, I pray for that individual or individuals to come into that place to know you. And so we thank you for all things, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, The Church Within the Church.
Amen, indeed. I tell you what, I thank God for the title. I had started on something else that was nowhere related to that. And when I got up the next morning and started, I was listening to somebody say something, and this is the way God deals with me, even in the writing of poetry. I can just hear a word, hear a phrase. Somebody said something about the church, and I don't even remember what it was, but all I know I had to tune in was church within a church. They didn't say church within a church, but I just knew when they said church, that's what that was what I was supposed to speak on today. So I had to do an about face and get to studying on that. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about what God has. I'm going to read this poem first. It's time, and then I'm going to the message. It's time to speak and hear the truth, proclaiming this gospel to every group. It's time to be ever bold and in our convictions standing firm, preparing lost hearts for our Savior's return. It's time to sound the danger alarm and to beat the warning drum to us who are born again to make sure we are free from sin. It's time to recognize that times have truly changed, for people are engaging in actions more and more strange. It's time for us to be challenged in what we know and see. The prophetic timeline of God's word is racing towards eternity. It's time to worship for more than duty if you expect the heavenly glory. It's time to work and minister in light before darkness comes and we're taken by the night. It's time to be on watch, alert, and aware for the enemy's every trap and every devious snare. It's time to go the way as a child you were taught to go, so others who are watching will see your worth to follow. It's time to lay the gavel to what is right, fair, and just. It's for us as God's people, and I say that we must. It's time. And so it's time for us to be the church.
It is. That was good.
Thank you. It is definitely time for us to be what Jesus first said. Jesus first used this term in Matthew 16:18. And that says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so this is the first time that you see church mentioned, and it's by Jesus himself. Jesus is referred to as the rock, and you'll find that in Psalms 18:2, Psalms 28:1, 2 Samuel 22:2, in verse 47, 1 Corinthians 10:4. And so he is that which we base our life upon. The church, from the Greek word ecclesia, and it's really, the word church really comes from another English word, which I'm going to tell you, but we know of the Greek word ecclesia, which we recognize, you know, as being a called out group. And it comes from a Greek word also called kaleo, meaning to call, the called out ones, or the called out assembly or group. The English word church comes from kuriakon, I think that's what it is, kuriakon, which means dedicated to the Lord. Now, that was something I, you know, learned. I thought, oh, that's even more strategic. Not are you being called out once, but once you're called out, you're dedicated to the Lord. And so the church is built upon Jesus. And according to Matthew 66:18, he says, "I will build my church." And so it belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to any one man. It belongs to the Lord, the church, the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, operating by that which is given in the word of God. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail over the true church. The gates of hell will not, if the word prevail means to overcome. And so the gates of hell will not overcome and conquer the true church, the true body of baptized believers in Christ Jesus. And so I want us to be where we think about the church as not just being another place to go as far as the house of God, or it's just not another thing we do, just assemble with our sisters and brothers in Christ because it's that certain time of the week. Well, let me get myself together. It's Sunday morning. You know, I got to get it together here so I get out there to the house of God and do my weekly duty. No, I want us, after you hear this message, to be where you think about, this is significant. This is important, that I set myself in a place to assemble with other like-minded believers in Christ so that we can do what we need to do in the place of God, in the edifying of one another, and in the lifting up of the Lord Jesus in praise. And so I really hope that you all get a sense of, how you want to say, of urgency about you know, about the times that we're living in, and that it being important that we stay connected with one another. In Colossians 1:18, it talks about Jesus being the head of the body, mm-hmm. the church. I'm going to read from Ephesians 1:22-23, because I believe it's so powerful in what we need to hear. And it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so God, you know, gave his son to be a head of the church, which is the body. It's mm-hmm. The church is the body of Christ, okay? And in Ephesians 2 and 20, it lets us know that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And so the church of God, and I'm not talking about the church of God with headquarters in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Right.
But the church of the living God, that spiritual grouping of people, those spiritual ones who have dedicated, I just like that, dedicated themselves to the Lord. When you start talking about you are dedicated to something, it means that your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul is devoted to what you are dedicated to. See, it's not a pastime, if you will.
Right.
It's not an Easter Sunday, Christmas morning just thing. It's your heart. It's what you feel so driven to do because you love God.
Mm-hmm.
You're not driven to do it because you scared somebody gonna, you know, make you go or that you gonna miss out on heaven because you don't go. No, you're driven because it's a passion. You're driven by the passion that you have in your spirit, in your mind, set, you know, to gather with others. All righty. The church of God will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We shall be tried. We shall be tested. Adversity will hit our lives. Trouble will come. But for those who are of the true church, Jesus has already said it, that we will not be overpowered. We will not be conquered, if you will. Let me go to Romans 8. And I just want to set this as a preface here to let us know that, you know, we're not going to be defeated. Yes, we're going to have these things that happen, but you know, you might be knocked down, but you're not defeated. If you're knocked down, you get back up and you keep going.
Yes.
You're defeated when you stop.
That's right.
In Romans 8:37, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. All righty. Sorry about that, people of God. I think I'm just going to have to cut it completely off so we won't have to worry about that now. Now, so we know that we're going to suffer these particular things, but in knowing that, we have to realize that we are overcomers and that we are not running from the devil. We're not running from him, but we are the ones that's going to conquer him.
Mm-hmm.
We're the one going to take territory from him. Now, when you think about the church, the body of Christ as a whole, and I want you to see it through the eyes of Jesus. I'm going to be sharing out from two main passages of scriptures, one in Revelations and also in, I think is it 2 Corinthians? Make sure where we're going on this here. I believe it's that in Revelations and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But in Revelations, there are churches that are mentioned there, and I've talked from Revelations before, but I'm going to talk from this in the sense of what the church, the false church is about, okay? And then we're going to talk about what the true church is about. Now, Jesus kind of set a preface, if you will, telling us what was going to be taking place in all of these particular churches and what was taking place in these particular churches. And I see these churches in reference to what's happening in today's setting as well. And so in studying this and understanding that we have to know what church we are part of. Are we just a part of the whole universal church that, you know, people are just assembling in, and, you know, still lives are not being transformed? See, we have to realize when we become a part of the body of Christ, there is a transformation. We're making, see, Jesus first said when he, after he had arose from his grave, when he came out the grave, and then he decided, and he didn't decide, but he went on back to heaven. He told his disciples, you know, what to do initially, and then he told them what he wanted to see forming in their lives. And he said, I need you to make disciples, not converts, but to make disciples. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very important. So here, when Jesus starts talking about these seven churches, now he gives the good thing, gives commendations on what they did right. But I'm not starting with that point first. I'm going to get into that, but I want to talk about what they did wrong first. To give you an idea, if you are part of the church that you need to be a part of. All right, Ephesus. The church of Ephesus in Revelation, and that's in Revelations chapter 2, and begin at verse 1. And it says that they had lost their first love. Now, think about just that phrase there. They had lost their first love. And I want you to give some thought to, where are you in being a part of the body of Christ? Are you less interested in spending time with the Lord and more interested in recreational endeavors? Are you more so devoted to social media, family, friends, and even enemies than you are to God? And you may say, enemies, I ain't giving them time to. Some people are giving their enemies the time of the day. Mm-hmm. You may not be. Mm-hmm. But some people, they just can't get over who is against them, and they're trying to think about ways they can combat them, and how can I make them leave me alone. And you'd be surprised how people are spending hours on end thinking about their enemies, wishing they would leave me alone. What am I going to do? And being oppressed and depressed because of their enemies. Are you spending more time thinking about your enemies? Mm-hmm. Whoever thought of they would be spending a whole lot of time on their enemies? Well, but some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Than you are to thinking on the goodness of God, or thinking on the word of God that's able to help you to overcome your enemies. Has your love for God's word lessened? Has your love for the word of God lessened? Has your love for gathering with his people in the house of God lessened? Just think about those questions. Kind of mull that over in your mind. Meditate on that for a second or two. I think I need to just read those questions back again. Are you less interested in spending time with the Lord and more interested in recreational endeavors? Are you more so devoted to social media, family, friends, and even enemies than you are to God? Has your love for God's word lessened? Has your love for gathering with his people in the house of God lessened? And see, the enemy, you know, he comes in ways that are subtle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He might let you pick up your Bible Wednesday because, you know, it's midweek. I got to be ready for Wednesday night. I don't know what's coming, so let me pick up my Bible Wednesday and read a little something. And then Sunday, you're depending on your Sunday school and your word for that, and you feel like, hey, I'm set for the day. And some of us are thinking, I'm set for the week.
Right.
And the enemy's still thinking, oh, yeah, I got something for you this week, too. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to read the Bible more than just on Wednesday, more than just on Sunday picking it up. We don't know in all detail what the enemy may come and blindside you with. You just don't know. You just don't know what may hit you through the week that you're going to need that word which God was so stirring your heart to go to a particular place. And you open up your Bible. And some of us wonder, you know, when I open up the Bible, where do I start? And I'm telling you, God will give you many a times to read a specific, and it may be just one verse. And the next thing you know, something may come in which that one verse really hits that particular thing that mm-hmm. hits you. And so we've got to be diligent in what we do in the things of God, in the kingdom ministry work of the Lord. If, now listen to this, when you fall to any of those categories and no one is calling your hand on this, and every message you hear is to make you feel comfortable in your lack of devotion to God, is to make you feel comfortable in your sin, then you're attending a church house, but it's not God's house.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? When you fall into any of those above category and nobody's calling your hand on this, and the messages you hear make you feel comfortable where you are at in those areas, in your lack of devotion, makes you feel comfortable in that. And even in your sin makes you feel comfortable. Oh, something's wrong. Then you're attending a church house, but it's not God's house.
Right.
I've often said every church house is not God's house. Mm-mm. Because we need to be dealing with these issues, see, in order for us to be a victorious church. Because what's going to happen when you are not living a consistent, disciplined, dedicated, devoted, determined life for the Lord? The enemy knows it. And it won't take much for him to come and knock you over, bowl you over like you're a set of bowling pins in the bowling alley.
That's right.
He'll make a strike on you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, he will knock all your whole self over. You won't just be bending. You would have gotten so weak till he'll just, his bowling ball will knock you clean over. And so we have to see what, you know, where are we? Are we being the true vibrant church that's within a church? Or are we just trying to slide along to get by?
Mm-hmm.
Because as my dad always said, there's a reckoning day coming. And you don't want to be found wanting in the scales. You don't want to be found there. But you want to be found saying where the Lord will tell you, you know, the welcome thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Come on in, enjoy, you know, the pleasures of the Lord. Now think about these things. Smyrna. The Smyrna church really was a church which was the persecuted church, if you will. The persecuted church. And the only thing that you see that Jesus is addressing, and I don't know if it was, if they were the particular ones that were in the Smyrna church, or if these were individuals that were outside of the church and were trying to, you know, cause promises. But Jesus said that some are saying that they are Jews and are really of Satan, meaning they are hypocrites. But as far as anything else that was going on, they got high commendation, and we'll get to that later on. But outwardly appearing to be of God and inwardly something else is a spirit of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And so you definitely don't want to go to the place of deception. Because the scripture says, you know, eventually what happens, you are deceiving your own self. You may have been started out deceiving others, but after a while you're deceiving your own self because you're deceived. So you just don't want to go into that place. So you don't want people operating over you in the house, in the body of Christ as being deceptive. And we got a lot of deception going on nowadays. Yes, even with leaders. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of deception. They're hiding what you call presumptuous sins, secret sins, and still trying to appear that they are all right and not getting this thing taken care of. See, what the problem is not that you sin. The problem is that you sin and you keep on sinning and not getting over the sin, you know, and you're deceiving yourself. God knows that we are prone to do wrong at times, mm-hmm. but we are supposed to be practicing walking in the perfection and the maturity of the things of God. And so when we don't practice those things, the enemy comes and he'll come out, you know, and say, oh, well, you messed up, you know. You might as well, you know, forget it. And then next thing you know, he says, well, you know, others are messed up too. You look at them out there and they're messing up. So you're not so bad, you know. So, you know, just don't tell nobody, you know, you'll eventually get over it. Well, you won't get over it if you don't take it to the Lord.
That's right.
It's going to get over on you. Mm-hmm. It's going to consume you. And so you have to be watchful of that which you allow yourself to fall into. So when you do, you get up quickly and repent. And this is another thing into these letters that Jesus was telling to each one, to repent of these things and to quickly repent. The church is a place where all types of people congregate. I'm talking about the building now, the house of God. But it's there so that when people do congregate there, they can become, if they're in the wrong place, they can become convicted, not condemned, but convicted by the Holy Ghost and get things right. Mm-hmm. And those that are in a place of maturity, they can help pray the others through.
Yes.
They can help them to make it on through and share to help edify. The Church of Pergamos had a compromising spirit. They had this spirit of Balaam, which led God's people astray. And Balaam's way is promoting falsehood for financial gain. And the Nicolaitans that it speaks of came about through a person named Nicholas of Antioch, who intermingled occultism, Judaism, and Christianity practices. And by him intermingling all those things, he caused the people there to do the same thing. And so what you have is a compromising spirit that comes in the church and says, it's okay, you know. See, it's one thing for you to sin and you know you're sinning and you're trying to get it right. But then it's another thing when you're sinning and you just done got to the place, well, it's okay. God knows me. He knows my heart. You'd be surprised what all God knows. The heart is deceitful. It's evil. The heart is deceitful and it's evil. And the scripture talking about who can know the heart. You know, the Spirit of God knows the heart. Sometimes we like we know ourselves better than God. But how are we going to know ourselves better than the one that created us?
Right.
He's the one that created us. He knows us better than anybody else will ever know us. So he knows where we get off track. He knows how we can get back on track. He knows when we're trying to fake it. Mm-hmm. We're trying to fake the way or something, you know, instead of trying to just get truthful and just get back on track. And so we have people nowadays that are compromising and they're saying they're part of the true church of God. They're saying it's all right to compromise and do things of the world, which the world says is, you know, everything that you do, as long as it's just you, you know, you're not hurting, as long as you're not hurting nobody, you're hurting yourself. If you feel like you're hurting nobody, you're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. You're hurting yourself in the end if you don't make it in. And so don't let the compromising spirit of the world come in and tell you, it's all right. We've got a new way of operating now. We got a new way of doing things. You know, what you're talking about in the Word of God is ancient. That was for them people back in the, you know, in Bible days. Well, we still in Bible days. Mm-hmm. whether you realize or not, we're fulfilling prophecy.
That's right.
We are in Bible days. Yeah. We talking about Bible days back then. This is Bible days. Yes, Lord. The church of Thyatira, the false church of Thyatira, was that of Jezebel. Sexual immorality and idolatry. When you accept sexual immorality as being the norm, you have given yourself over to serving another God. I think I need to say that again. When you have accepted sexual immorality as being the norm, as being the standard by which you feel it's all right to operate by, because we've got new standards in society now, you know, everything is changing. You have given yourself over to serving another God. You know, I gave a message one time talking about how words are changing. They're, you know, they're giving new meanings to words now. Words that you thought meant one thing, they don't mean that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, they mean something else, you know. And I every time I think about, you know, somebody talking about what is a woman, you know, I just can't hardly believe people don't know what a woman is. And
same.
I was listening to this preacher and he says, congressmen don't know. They don't know what a woman is. He says, what is a woman? He says, it's your mama.
Yeah.
That's what a woman's your mama, don't you know? Lord have mercy. I just couldn't get over that. He said, you don't even know what your mama is. Oh, Lord. What's wrong with today's society? We want to change, you know, what a woman is. Change what a husband is. Mm. Change what a wife is. When it's already been given a definition. If we're going to have a dictionary and it's going to give us the meaning of these words, and then going to change it later on, why do you even have a dictionary?
That's right.
If we're going to keep changing them every so many years, why do we mm-hmm. have a dictionary? We need something that's going to remain constant and not change. And that only person is Jesus. Yes. Jesus is our constant thing. He's not going to change. He's going to remain the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said in the beginning, you know, he created the heavens and the earth, you're not going to, well, they're changing Bibles now. I want you to know that too. Now they're changing Bibles. And we better be really careful about what version we get of the Word of God, because they're really changing some things. But anyway, if it says that in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, why do I need to see another Bible saying in the beginning was, you know, this big bang, and, you know, why do I need to see that in there? I don't.
Mm-mm.
It's already stated as it happened. There's no changing in what already took place. It was done. Mm-hmm. Once it was done, it was done. And so we need to, you know, what you establish your belief upon, you know, is what you're going to find yourself walking out in your everyday life. What you establish, what you believe in, is what will become your doctrine for life. All right, so
would now be a good time to take a break, or are you finishing this point?
Yes, okay. Yes.
We do have a few prayer requests.
All righty.
We want to pray for Monica. She was sick last night, but her fever broke at 3 a.m. She's just really tired today, so just a quick recovery. Mignon asked us to pray for 5-year-old Clara about a week ago. She was sent to Oklahoma City for an appendectomy. The appendix had ruptured, and she's still in the hospital. Okay. It's been 7 days, I think. Mm-hmm. And our sister, Brooklyn Music, Chasten's wife, was diagnosed with pneumonia yesterday. And we've been praying for Chris Carnahan. He's been doing super strong chemo. He had scans the other day that showed that the tumors have shrunk. So if his heart's strong enough, they will go ahead with another round of the chemo. And it's a really super strong chemo, and he's already had his lifetime limit, but they're still going ahead because the tumors have been shrinking. So, and then his wife, Denise's nanny, went to be with the Lord yesterday in the midst of all of that as well.
Okay. Well, Father God, we thank you for these particular requests. We thank you, Lord, for Monica, Lord, for her diligence in being a part of this hour of power, Lord, and